With a lot of attention sure to go to the New Orleans Saints' big three at wide receiver, Deonte Hardy, last year's starter and electrifying playmaker, could be the Saints' secret weapon in 2022. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Friday episode of Locked On Saints, Louisiana Sports Writers Association's number two sports podcast in the great state of Louisiana, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we're free and available on all podcast apps, and you can also watch on YouTube as well. I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. You can find me over at USA Today Saints Wire Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And on today's episode, as we do every Friday, we're going to hit our In Case You Missed It segment to make sure you're all caught up with all the news that you need to know around the New Orleans Saints. We'll also break down some training camp battles that you need to be aware of here a couple of weeks ahead of training camp. But first, I want to start off with wide receiver Deonte Hardy, who's going to be in a little bit of a training camp battle of his own, but regardless, should find his way to the New Orleans Saints 53-man roster without much to do. The thing about Deonte Hardy to remember, and by the way, Deonte Hardy, remember, not Deonte Harris any longer, the thing you remember about Deonte Hardy is that he was a starter last season. So all of a sudden, with the New Orleans Saints having a lot of attention, of course, going to Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, and Jarvis Landry, their new big three at wide receiver, Deonte Hardy, who already has a ton of chemistry with quarterback Jameis Winston, could be the Saints' secret weapon to take the top off of defenses in 2022. You look back at the 2021 season, a season where Michael Thomas was expected to make his return after spending the first few weeks of the season on the physically unable to perform list, but unfortunately wasn't able to come off of that list and therefore went to injured reserve for the entire season. Deonte Hardy, Marquez Callaway, the two of them, up until Tre'Quan Smith got healthy and got back out on the field for a little while, were the two guys that the New Orleans Saints were comfortable going to. We saw other players, Krishan Hogan, Kenny Stills, their reunion with the New Orleans Saints didn't quite go as planned. Kevin White never really panned out, just one catch that season. But Deonte Hardy was the New Orleans Saints' most consistent wide receiver throughout the season up until he had to serve his three-game suspension late last year. Then all of a sudden, that's also when Marquez Callaway started to really come on. So that was really good timing for the New Orleans Saints in that case. But if we look at what it is that Deonte Hardy did for the Saints in 2021, you find 36 receptions, 570 yards, and three touchdowns. Now, 36 receptions of 570 yards, not a ton, but when you average that out to 15.8 yards per catch, that's a bit of a new number. We haven't seen that kind of number from a New Orleans Saints wide receiver in terms of averages for quite some time. And he was able to sustain that over the course of the 2021 season in the games in which he was able to appear. So when we break it down sort of in a, I guess you could say, per game type of basis, you're looking at him pretty consistently being the top receiver for the Saints. He opened up the season with two catches for 72 yards. Of course, he had the big touchdown reception from Jameis Winston against the Green Bay Packers, followed that up with a couple of games, 31 yards, 52 yards, another 72-yard game on one catch against Washington. Of course, another big bomb deep over the middle, 35 yards, 52, 84, and then things kind of started to slow down for him a little bit, 11, 9, and then 96, where he was targeted eight times against Dallas and did a lot of that after the catch as well. Then he went on to not play against the New York Jets, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or the Miami Dolphins. And really, let's be real, no one played against the Miami Dolphins. Except for poor Ian Book, and people still want to try to make judgments on Ian Book based upon that game, which to me is hysterical. Came back and he had 23 yards, 24 yards on two catches and three catches respectively against the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. So had his rhythm really not been stepped on by that three-game suspension, Deonte Hardy probably could have ended up being the Saints' leading wide receiver. He wasn't that far off, if we're being honest. I mean, thinking about that, that was just Marquez Callaway, just a few yards more, really, than what Deonte Hardy put up with 698. So Deonte Hardy was only about 128 yards off of. And again, Marquez Callaway, 15.2 yards. Marquez Callaway, somebody to not completely sleep on either. But with all of the attention going to those big three, Thomas, Landry, Olave, it will open up opportunities for Deontay Hardy. And I know that right now he's looking for a long-term extension, and the reports are so far that there is a lot of distance between Deontay Hardy and the organization in terms of what that extension looks like. I mean, you have to look at guys like Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who signed away for 3 years, $30 million, right? $33 million. And so you look at that yearly average, and that's probably somewhere around what Deontay Hardy and his team are fighting for, but it's hard because we haven't seen that much from Deontay Hardy just yet. But what we have seen from him, of course, is very, very good. And I think that that ends up being a piece that could potentially end up going his way, especially when you consider the fact that Marquez Valdez-Scantling got that contract without ever having a season over 700 receiving yards, right? The most that he ever had was in 2020, 690 yards on 33 receptions. He actually led the league that year in 20.9 yards per catch. So Deontay Hardy definitely makes a lot of sense that he's pushing for the money that he's pushing for. But for the Saints, if they're able to get a deal done and kind of make him happy in the process, I don't think that he's somebody that ends up not seeing the field for you. I don't think that he's somebody that doesn't end up contributing for you. You know that he has the communication, he has the chemistry with Jameis Winston already. You know where the attention is going. And now all of a sudden you're putting Deontay Hardy on a fourth string corner, on a safety perhaps, if you play your cards right, maybe even on a linebacker, depending on how you operate within zone coverage. There's a lot of opportunity there to really be able to take advantage of Deontay Hardy, who is not just a guy, and I said this all last year too, who's not just a guy that's built to take the top off the defense. Is he that? Yes, but he's not just that. He's also one of the few explosive weapons that you have on this team right now with the ball in his hands. So when you are a New Orleans Saints system that's looking and scheming and trying to figure out how to maximize mismatches, Deontay Hardy's a walking mismatch for you, even though he's not like the big guy that you can get mismatched on a smaller guy. He's the smaller guy, but his agility, his athleticism, his escapability, and what he's able to do when he has the ball in his hands and turns into a runner, unmatched in terms of what else you have on the team. He's the only one that really has that strength outside of maybe Aesop Winston. And so you get the ball in Deontay Hardy's hands when he's in coverage with a guy that's barely sees the field as a dimeback. That puts you in a really, really good spot if you're that New Orleans Saints offense that's going to look to build off of what they've already started to build in terms of momentum. That's going to look to rebound from the league's 32nd ranked passing yardage team in 2021, and will be looking for some more ways to create in space without Alvin Kamara for some portion of the 2022 season, very likely. So, Deontay Hardy, New Orleans Saints secret weapon, while the attention goes elsewhere. Coming up next, we know that Deontay Hardy is going to be sort of involved a little bit with the battle at the bottom of the depth chart at wide receiver, although you could pretty much consider him a lock. But who else behind him is going to be battling for that spot? And where else will you see some training camp battles with training camp right around the corner? We're going to break all of that down and much more as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. First, I want to tell you about our friends over at Bet Online, the number one source for all of your sports wagering needs and sports wagering information. You need advice, you need stats, you need some ideas about where to go with your cash. Bet Online has it for you. Bet Online's also got all the odds, lines, and props that you can ever ask for as well, more than ever before. By the end of, I'm recording this Thursday night, so we'll see exactly what happens with Kevin Durant, but if he hasn't moved, you can see all of the odds there for the team. And it looks like the Phoenix Suns are favored. The Grizzlies not far behind, not a distant second either. So we'll see where he ends up, but some intriguing teams on the list already. So with NBA free agency kicking off, that's going to also shift some things around in terms of the beginning of next year, what teams' odds might look like and how likely they are to potentially end up as NBA champions. You can find everything you need over the Locked On NBA podcast on that. But if you want to put some money down on it, BetOnline is your destination. Visit on your mobile device or your laptop, wherever it is that you feel like it, so that you can keep up with all the sports trends and action. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks as always for making us your first listen or watch of the day every day here on the Locked On Saints podcast. Big bunch of moves in NFL NBA free agency. You can see I'm ready for this NFL season, can't you? In NBA free agency, you want to know all of the news. You want to see some of the immediate reactions. Go and check out either your favorite basketball teams, local and Locked On podcast, or check out the Locked On NBA podcast for a look across the league as well. And of course, you could always check out Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans. Yeah, every day, every single day. All right, so I want to break down some of the training camp battles that you're going to be able to watch. We talked a little bit about Dionte Hardy. He's not somebody that's necessarily going to be involved in a training camp battle, I don't think, but I think the bottom of that wide receiver roster or depth chart is going to be a little interesting to watch. And the takeaway that I want to present here is that the Saints don't just have good receivers at the top of their roster. They have good receivers like 1 through 5. And that's going to make a major difference for them in 2022 because that's where the volume of their passing offense is very likely going to come from. Again, Alvin Kamara could potentially be suspended for up to 6 games. If that's the case, you're going to lose some of your passing production out of the backfield. Tight end, we're still a little questionable about, right? We don't know what the Saints are going to do at tight end just yet, what that's going to look like, what that roster is going to look like, who's going to be able to contribute all of that, and who's going to contribute the most at that spot. You hope that Adam Trautman takes a big step forward in his third year. But for the most part, your passing production is probably going to come from your wide receivers. So being good 1 through 3 is fantastic, right? Because you have your 2 outside receivers and your slot receiver, and all of those guys can play inside and out. But now you're looking at building out the bottom of that piece of the depth chart. So I did an episode early on this week about Dejon Dixon, the 6'4", 6'3", 205-pound wide receiver that basically told everyone, look, I'm a deep threat. All the things that Michael Thomas and any other receiver can do, I can do that. So there's a lot of confidence for the kid in terms of what it is that he's able to do. So he will be somebody that will continue to push and will continue to maybe challenge for one of those spots at the sort of, I keep saying the bottom of the depth chart, but it's a New Orleans Saints offense, right? Like New Orleans Saints offense is absolutely, I don't want to say notorious, but let me say famous for throwing 4 touchdowns to undrafted free agents in a single game. Hello, Atlanta. Utilizing mismatches based on size and shifting people off and on of the active roster, the game day roster, because of what matchups they might be able to take advantage of in the passing game and all that. So there's really no bottom of the roster in New Orleans. It's just kind of where are you going to see your playing time more than anything else. So Dejon Dixon could see that from the practice squad, while guys like Dionte Hardy and Marquez Callaway round out the 53-man roster. But then you also look at where Tre'Quan Smith goes and where he needs to be as well. And I've pushed in favor of Tre'Quan Smith a lot because of his ability to contribute in other phases outside of just the passing game, his ability to contribute as a pass blocker, his ability to contribute as somebody that they can line up in line and utilize kind of like a tight end, his ability to contribute in the run game. But if you find somebody that has that same type of acuity and can bring that in, like a Dejon Dixon, then all of a sudden there can be a little bit of a competition there. So one of the big, big camp battles to watch is how the rest of the wide receivers, I would say beyond your big four almost, including Dionte Hardy in that equation, and Marquez Callaway, maybe even big five, who's the one that's pushing for either the last spot if the Saints decide to keep 6 wide receivers, or the kind of premier practice squad spot that's going to see some elevations throughout the 2022 season. So that will be a big one to watch for sure. The next piece, staying on offense, is going to be, of course, left tackle. Trevor Penning, James Hurst. The Saints are very, very comfortable with whatever happens in this situation. That's something to remember. No matter what happens in this situation, the Saints will be happy. They like James Hurst, have no problem playing him at left tackle and giving Trevor Penning more time to develop. The big knocks on Trevor Penning are all teachable things. I actually had somebody ask me about this the other day. Hey, Ross, what was your evaluation of Trevor Penning? And the way that I have learned to boil down Trevor Penning's game is this. He is excellent when it comes to the things you can't teach: size, athleticism, mental capacity, all of those pieces. He needs some work, and he needs to continue to develop in all the places that you can teach. That is a good place to be. And there's no wonder that the New Orleans Saints went out and they brought in Doug Marrone and then drafted Trevor Penning. They brought in a offensive line proven, offensive line developer that can teach this system. So I'm not too worried about Trevor Penning, even if he doesn't become the starter week 1. The Saints are going to be in a good place because they have James Hurst. The intrigue begins if Trevor Penning runs away with that left tackle position and just really clicks right away, which would be best case scenario for the Saints. And then all of a sudden, James Hurst gets to compete elsewhere. He gets to compete at left guard with Andrew Speed. He gets to compete at right guard with Cesar Ruiz. How does that end up potentially shaking up the Saints' offensive line, especially with a new offensive line coach in town who has no real kind of biases at all across that offensive line? So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that all pans out for Trevor Penning, James Hurst, and the New Orleans Saints. Next up, we'll jump over to the defensive side. This is going to be a big one, and it's another premier position. This is the thing that's really interesting. The Saints have increased competition at premier positions, the most important positions on the roster. That means that you're always making sure you're getting the best talent out on the field, and it makes sure that it's making your best talent better because everyone is being pushed, everyone is being challenged. Over on the secondary and at cornerback, that's going to be the big one to watch. Effectively, you're watching Alante Taylor, Paul Sinodivo, and I'd even throw Bradley Roby in there for competition at cornerback two opposite Marshon Lattimore. And that's huge. The New Orleans Saints, there was so much concern about who was even going to be the guy opposite Marshon Lattimore last year when Janoris Jenkins had to be moved on from. And, you know, Mickey Loomis kind of spoke openly about how, like, they really didn't want to move on from Janoris Jenkins. Janoris Jenkins spoke very highly of his time in New Orleans, but that they just effectively had to do it. Now, 1 year later, we're talking about three potential starters opposite Marshon Lattimore. What a turnaround for this New Orleans Saints secondary. Somebody tweeted me the other day and said, hey, when Ross Jackson talked about how the secondary is the strength of the Saints defense, it hit different because people wouldn't expect to hear that over the course of the past two seasons, because even as the defense has gotten better in New Orleans from those 2014, 15, and 16 years, the spot opposite Marshon Lattimore has always been in rotation. Ken Crawley, Eli Apple, Janoris Jenkins, now Paul Sinodivo, now potentially someone else. And for a little while, it was Bradley Roby before Paul Sinodivo. People kind of expected Paul Sinodivo to start week one while Bradley Roby served his suspension, and then that Bradley Roby would step into that role opposite Marshon Lattimore, and that didn't happen. So it just goes to show you that nothing is for sure in this New Orleans Saints defense, and that the best players will always find their way to the field, especially in a situation like this, where you have a very talented, very confident, very mature player in Alante Taylor, who you just invested a second round draft pick in, that yes, can be a core special teamer for you and can be a big time guy opposite JT Gray. But if he's able to win that starting secondary role for you, you feel like you really made out like gangbusters in that situation. And then finally, that'll help us close out here as we take a look at these training camp battles. There are more, of course. Linebacker is going to be really interesting. Running back is going to be really interesting. Abram Smith and Dwayne Washington at the bottom of that running back roster feels like a really good battle there with, you know, running backs that could be reserve running backs, maybe serve even a larger role on offense, but also core special teamers. Those are going to be big as well. But speaking of special teams, who's going to be the guy opposite JT Gray? JT Gray had 13 special teams tackles last year. That's the most since, I believe it was 2013, where a player had 19. So I think actually JT Gray had 16. Then it was the most since 2013 with a player who had 19. That's right. And so who's going to be that guy, though? Because you think about the punt coverage unit in particular, JT Gray is your stud there. He's your all-pro special teamer. He was all pro last year as a special teamer. But you had guys like Jeff Heath and Marquez Callaway and Ty Montgomery all taking those snaps opposite him. And the Saints gave up the most punt return yards last season in the league. And so when you, and that's very different for what you're used to when it comes to the Saints and their punt coverage units. So who's going to be that person opposite JT Gray? And you have a lot of options. Smoke Monday absolutely could be that guy. Justin Evans absolutely could be that guy. Alante Taylor absolutely could be that guy. There's a lot of great options there. And you also have to watch guys like DeMarco Jackson playing other roles on that punt coverage unit because he's a phenomenal special teamer too. So you're going to see players find roster spots based on their ability to cover punts and kicks. The New Orleans Saints put a big time emphasis in special teams this offseason, and it's hard to tell just by looking at the draft class, undrafted free agency and free agency, but when you see it all come to fruition in training camp, then it starts to make a lot of sense. JT Gray was an all pro last year. Now you get somebody opposite him who's able to hold up their end of the bargain, and then imagine what JT Gray is able to do there. Imagine what that other player is able to do opposite JT Gray when they find somebody that can specialize in maximizing their coverage units. Huge, huge opportunity for them to flip the field with Blake Gillikin in that way as well. All right, coming up next, as we wrap up today's episode, just want to get you caught up with all the news from around the New Orleans Saints. Peyton Turner has been medically cleared. New contract for DeMario Davis and a former New Orleans Saint, an absolute legend, walking away with Stuart Scott's Inspire Award. We got a lot coming up for you to wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. The NFL news never stops, and New Orleans Saints news never stops either. Here we are wrapping up the month of June, saying hello to the month of July. Speaking of saying hello, I want to give a quick shout out to my boy Kenny. Met in Office Depot. What's up, homie? Thanks so much for saying hi. Thanks for helping to change my life. When we get into Fridays in the offseason, I like to go through and kind of give you like a quick hit on everything, that the most important things that you need to know from this week for the New Orleans Saints. So as I'm recording this Thursday night, and something could happen on Friday, so we usually pick up Fridays in the following week. You'll notice that with one of these stories that we'll wrap up with. But I want to start off with the most recent thing here. Peyton Turner announcing on Twitter that he is medically cleared and ready to get back to action for the New Orleans Saints. So it sounds like he'll be ready for training camp, if that's, with that being the case, and also ready to be on the field week one. Now, Peyton Turner's got a lot to prove, right? Can he stay healthy? But if he can and he can stay on the field, we've already seen he's massively disrupted when he is on the field. One sack, two hits, 10 total pressures may not sound like a lot, but only 111 pass rushing snaps. That's a 9% pressure percentage. That's huge for any player. So that's awesome. He also had defensive stops alone against the Carolina Panthers last year, added three tackles for a loss, also disruptive in the run game as well. So when you think about what he might be able to bring to help bolster that rotation at defensive end, which will include Cam Jordan, hopefully a healthy Marcus Davenport, who's recovering from his own shoulder surgery, as well as an amputated pinky at one point this offseason. Carl Granderson's in that mix. Taco Charlton has been added there. And then Tano Passanio, who dealt with some injuries last year, but his inside-outside versatility and his production last year was also pretty impressive in the limited sample size that we got to see with him. Peyton Turner coming back could feel like a third or fourth, depending on how you feel about Michael Thomas. First round pick getting back on this roster in 2022. In case you missed it, Steve Gleason is going to receive Stuart Scott's Inspire Award, awarded by ESPN. That will happen on the ESPYs on July 20th, later on this month. He'll be awarded that award along with a few other humanitarian award winners as well. There's four humanitarian award honors out there when it comes to sports. This one, the Inspire Award, was created in 2015 to honor the late ESPN anchor, an absolute legend, Stuart Scott. As written by Jeff Duncan from over at NOLA.com, it commemorates and celebrates athletes, teams, and sports industry executives who have taken risks and innovative approaches in the sports world to help the disadvantaged. Recipients include Billie Jean King, David Robinson, Joe Torre, and Pete Carroll. Once again, that's from Jeff Duncan at NOLA.com. So huge, huge award. Huge recognition for Steve Gleason, who of course is a New Orleans Saints legend. If you're not familiar with Steve Gleason, he of course has been fighting the battle of ALS, not just for himself, but for many, many others, millions of people that he has impacted over time. People that are suffering, that are surviving through ALS, people who are family members of those with ALS, and then just the rest of the community as a whole in New Orleans. He of course with the No White Flags. And his Gleason Foundation as well. And of course, he is, the thing that really put him on the map as a player was the return to the Dome game, 2006 rebirth, when he blocked the punt for the Atlanta Falcons, which was recovered in the end zone for a touchdown, and the Superdome went nuts. Mike Tirico on the call, touchdown New Orleans, not touchdown New Orleans Saints, not touchdown Saints, touchdown New Orleans. That was very, very intentional by Mike Tirico. Oh, it makes me misty just thinking about it. But so awesome stuff for Steve Gleason and that Stuart Scott Inspire Award, ENSPIRE, of course. Next up and finally, DeMario Davis gets an extension. Remember, he was one of those three players. We talked about Deontay Hardy earlier on in the episode. He, DeMario Davis, CJ Gardner-Johnson, all looking for longer-term commitments and extensions from the team. DeMario Davis gets his first, which was the right decision by the New Orleans Saints. You award your veteran leaders and your emotional leaders before anybody else. That's what the New Orleans Saints did. And so now he is extended and signed through 2024. The extension doesn't do anything for 2022, doesn't create any cap space, doesn't take up any more cap space. Saints are in a good place, around $10 million of cap space. They're having fun. 2023, saw a little bit of a reduction in terms of his cap hit, going from $8.5 million to $8.25 million, but that $250,000 difference there is made up in a workout bonus for the veteran. So expect that $8.25 million to be subject to restructure in 2023. They also guaranteed an extra $1 million of that, so that kind of signals that for you too, since the money's kind of already guaranteed, or a larger portion of the money's already guaranteed. The restructure doesn't really mean anything, doesn't really hurt you at all, doesn't create more guaranteed money than you can handle. 2024 comes in with a new year that's going to be right around $14 million, $10 million base salary, $2 million that's in there with some bonuses, and then, of course, another $2 million in incentives, which actually was created in all three seasons, this season, next season, and 2024. But the main takeaway is that he's now a New Orleans Saint in 2024, which tells you that the New Orleans Saints are looking to keep DeMario Davis happy for right now and also continue to compete throughout the rest of his tenure, because you don't want to waste any of his time. You don't want to waste what he's got left in the tank as one of the best off-ball linebackers in the NFL, even though he doesn't get that type of recognition as consistently as maybe he should. No other player in the NFL over the past four seasons has had 100 tackles, 10 or 100 plus tackles, 10 or more tackles for a loss, and at least three sacks. He's done that 40 years in a row in a New Orleans Saints uniform. That's absolutely incredible. The only other player to do that more than once, create that stat line, is Roquan Smith from the Chicago Bears. He did it twice. That's from John Sigler, my good friend, over at Saints Wire, where you can find some more of our written work. And when you look at what DeMario Davis' extension also tells you, it tells you that the Saints are looking to compete, not just next year, but also in the post-Tom Brady Tampa Bay Bucs era, when the NFC South is absolutely wide open. Because who knows what's happening with the Falcons? Who knows what's happening with the Carolina Panthers? But the Saints should have a window here that's opening for them to be able to run this division again for another couple of years. All right. Coming up on Monday, get you caught up with anything else that might happen over the course of the weekend. And I want to answer one simple question. Why should you be excited about this New Orleans Saints 2022 NFL season? Because I'm very excited about it, but I might have a specific perspective on it. So let me share that with you. And let me also hear why it is that you're excited about the 2022 New Orleans Saints season. We'll discuss all of that, break it down, share your thoughts, my thoughts on Monday. I appreciate you, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are here for you throughout the offseason, 5 days a week. For your second listen, make sure you go and check out the Locked On NFL podcast. All the news you need to know around the league in less than 30 minutes, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. I appreciate you so much for making me a part of your routine and a part of your day. If you see me, say hi. And of course, I'll see you on Monday. But for everything that you need around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.